When Avril brought that word this morning, I'd said to her earlier as we talked about it, I woke up this morning, I was reading the scriptures in John chapter 6, and Jesus makes me laugh. His disciples were grumbling. You never do that, do you? No. His disciples were grumbling, and he said this to them. He said, knowing they were grumbling, he said, "It's the spirit that gives life. The flesh," I love this bit, "is no use at all." So pinch it and just say, "It's no use at all," okay? "The flesh is no use at all. It's the spirit that gives life." And we're not about good ideas. We're about hearing what the Spirit of God is saying and following obediently. Then we live in the fruit. Not just the presence and the power, but the fruit of obedience. And then when Fiona sang it, how many of you got wrecked when that happened? She's singing about healing, having seen the Lord receive her husband in heaven. And there was a moment in that when we looked at one another, we said, this is a moment of consecration. So I will share with you very briefly what I felt the Lord show me in the night, in the week, about this region. Some of which I've gone through and had the privilege of meeting on Friday with Graham and Deirdre, with Clive and Anna from Canterbury, and with Steve and Joyce from Ramsgate, and with Nick and Helen from Romney Marsh, and with a strange guy called Buck Hudson, who's just a cowboy from America who lives in Sweden, but Buck and I work together on the international team of Salt and Light. And what a privilege to travel with him and work with him. And together we work and lead what's beginning to grow and develop across the Nordic regions and work into America with the coast-to-coast teams. And I wanted him to be here. I felt this was going to be, can you say this with me, a defining moment. Defining moment. And so at the end, when I finished this, and hopefully before the kids come back in, because we want to do something soberly and rightly before God, without too much noise, but with an awful lot of passion and a tremendous amount of obedience and an incredible willingness to take a moment of consecration out of what came this morning. Consecration is not a word we use much these days. It's an old-fashioned word. It's when you set yourselves aside for the Lord. Today, choose you whom you will serve. Consecrate yourself before the Lord. I was awakened from my sleep, not by Chris, but I had these three words. And it came very, very simply. Legacy, transition, generations. I got up and I went downstairs in Graham's house and Deirdre's house and began to write some of the things I felt the Lord was saying to me. Legacy, transition, generations. Life has defining moments, and for me, this is one of them. It's the first time we've been in here, or I've been in here. I've been out there, and I've been all around this estate, prayer walking with friends of mine. Some from here, some from other churches, believing God that he would do something in Hawking. So for me, this morning is very special to be in here. I was up here one time when the snow was driving horizontally. It was so cold. Do you remember that day? And we were praying, I could not wait to get inside. It was so cold, but the presence of God was so real. And it's the presence of God that's going to change this region. And our history and our legacy is not to do things in the flesh. It's to do things by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. It wouldn't be good if we started in the Spirit and end in the flesh. The Galatians were in trouble for doing that. And I believe that what God wants to send in this nation to do what needs to be done in the next wave is not more clever ideas. They don't work. Not more trendy techniques or high-class technology. It's a generation that will again move in the Spirit of God through this land, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and spreading his kingdom wherever they go, and transforming society, not just having great meetings where they enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit, that they fill up to go out and make a difference. When Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus Road and he had the encounter with the Lord Jesus himself, how many of you saw the Bible recently on Channel 5? Oh, real Christians in this place, okay. Don't you watch telly? Or were you watching X Factor instead? Okay. The way they portrayed what happened on the Damascus Road was amazing. But the star for me of the Damascus Road was not Saul of Tarsus. It was Ananias, a little man who so few people know about, who did something out of great obedience with a man who he knew his reputation and yet was willing to go, lay hands on him, see him healed, just like the prophetic word was sung over us this morning, and bring a commission to him that transformed the Bible and you and me. And the guy that he brought it to wrote a huge chunk of this. Yeah, virtually nobody knew him. There could be a lot of Ananiases in this place. You never know who you're going to be a destiny carrier for. I can remember when I was such a young leader. How many of you are 24, 25 in this place? When I was 24, 25, these two women stood. Not many of you, we need to see more. These two women stood next to me at the end of a meeting. One was a mom with three children. The other one was a single girl, a very intelligent girl with a Russian degree. And they stood there and they said, if you will receive it, we have a word for you. I was such a young leader, brand new, saved, a couple of years saved. And a lot of young people with this. Mark Mumford, funny enough, was one of them that was welcoming you to transform. And they said, we have this word for you. It's from Isaiah 49:6. It's too light a thing that God should ask you to raise up the tribes of Israel, but I'm going to give you as a light to the nations. Would you receive it? I didn't understand it. I don't think I even had a passport at that time. And I've lived my life in airplanes ever since and in different nations, in languages that I don't understand. It was a defining moment of four more times. Prophetic people from around the world who you would know prophesied that over me. But the first two who brought that word were women you'll never meet and never know. Change my life. And there are some of you in here could probably say this morning, that's happened to me, Dave. Legacy. Something deposited deep within us. I was with Chris and Buck with the international team in Mumbai in India last February. And the Spirit of God was moving in the meeting and there were maybe 25, 30 of us gathered there. And suddenly they said, we want to pray for the UK. And it was a defining moment. And they called Mark Mumford and they called Phil Norris, who were there representing UK, and Andy O'Connell, the team administrator, and they came out. And because Steve and I were there, and because Chris and I were there, and we were with Barney, original fathers, in what began in Salt and Light, they said, well, you guys need to come as well, and you can stand with them. Well, we hardly do any work these days, apart from South Kent and apart from Basingstoke. I do nothing in UK unless the team asks me to do something. It's all outside of that. And as we stood together, the Canadian leader, Ron McLean, began to prophesy. And what he prophesied filled us with fear. He said, oh, I hear the awful sound of a baton. We say baton. A baton dropping to the ground. And immediately I knew what that was. How many of you know that the English 4x100 meters relay team have been absolutely useless for the last 2 years? And whatever competition we're in, we never get that baton round. We have some of the best runners, some of the fastest runners in the world, but they have not got the common sense to move it from one hand to another without dropping it or going outside the box. Transitions are difficult, especially for our runners right now. And we knew God had spoken. How many of you were at Transform last year when Mark spoke about this? It was a defining moment. He came into great fear and began to say, what have we done wrong? What is it that isn't right? Sometimes it's good to judge and examine what you're doing and not just take it for granted. And Steve and I sat with their team for 3 days and we talked about where the gaps were. And how when we'd handed it on, this was what our expectation was and how these were areas that we needed to help them to fill in. And last week, we began some of it by bringing the prophetic people in UK together and transitioning to a new generation, the legacy that God had invested in us. It is no good doing what we're doing if it cannot pass from one generation to another. The Bible is full of words that describe the inheritance that God has given us and the importance of transmitting that to the next generation and running the race until the very end. So we need to recognize and understand the times that we're in, like the men of Issachar that you read about in 1 Chronicles 12:32. They were men. I've always loved this verse. Who understood the times. Many times, I love what Avril said this morning. She asked the Lord a question, and he gave her an answer. When you ask God questions, he speaks. If you listen, like Nick said this week, he will speak. So right now, across Salt and Light, everywhere we go, it doesn't matter what nation that we are in, whether it's Africa or India, whether it's New Zealand or it's America, whether it's Europe, there is something going on where the legacy that's been given to the original fathers that ran with that legacy is transitioning to a new generation. And our job is not to hold on to it and say, wait till we've died. That's civil service. This is the body of Christ. You pass the baton on. You release it for those that have got the energy. How many of you are over 50 and haven't got the energy anymore? But you've still got the wisdom. What we need is the connectivity between the generations so those with the energy can run like we once used to and those with the wisdom like us can sit back with a cigar and champagne. No, forget that bit. And encourage with the wisdom of God that we've been given. I've looked at the prophet Zechariah, and one of the verses I love is that in my old age, my job is to rest my weary bones on my stick and watch the children playing in the streets of Jerusalem doing the work. Some of us are legends in our own lunchtimes right now. We think we're still 18 and we're not, and it's time to understand there is a time to pass things on. I spent my whole life passing things on. I was 30 when I gave away my first church that God had asked me to lead with my friends. Was that easy? No, that was my Bethlehem. That was the baby. I watched Steve Thomas and Lorraine Thomas give away Oxford, and it had cost them so much to plant that church. But it was time to move on. Guys, as I look right across this region right now, not just across this nation or the other nations, we looked on Friday morning, it was almost a new leadership across the region. And those that have gone before have run well, and some of them have run badly, and some have dropped it for the wrong reasons. But this is the great news, the race still goes on. We have lost some good men over the years who've died and gone to heaven. You heard Fiona sing how she sang that this morning. That's amazing to me. That's the grace of God. When we lost Adrian Thomas in Basingstoke, I preached a message at his funeral, which is one of our leaders is down, one of our leaders is wounded. Who will stand in the gap? And when I opened my eyes, there were over 100 young people standing out there waving flags like he used to do. Have we been short of leaders? No. Could we do with more leaders? Yes. Have we carried on? Of course we have. Because we carry on until we see the city whose builder and maker is God, that we believe for so many years. A joined together, related church of people who love one another, care for one another, and love Jesus so much, they cannot avoid talking about him and making a difference in other people's broken lives. The legacy that we have is incredible. What does legacy mean? How many of you are looking forward to a legacy? Don't believe for your parents to die quick, okay? My dad died last year, and I used to say to him, I don't want you to die. I don't need your legacy. I need you. But one day, I got his legacy, and I realized it wasn't money. It was stewardship. It was faithfulness. It was service. And what he put into me was better than any finance he could have left me. And anyway, the state are eating it up right now in care homes. Am I talking to the right crowd here? Legacy is what we pass on to those who are following us. It's the deposit that we leave behind from which others can develop and improve. When we handed Basingstoke on and Phil Norris came into the leadership. Phil Norris had grown up in our church. Phil Norris was 2 when he first arrived in Basingstoke. Gary Basting was born there. John O'Coombs was sent there by you guys, and we received a real blessing. I looked at the leaders there, and they were little kids, and they grew up in our church, and our people still follow them in their 80s and 90s because they carry the legacy. Their sons and their daughters of the family of God. They carry the same DNA, the same desire. They carry the same hope, but they just do it better. They just do it better. And Phil Norris said this to the leaders, and I was sitting there. Can you imagine how this feels? You hand something over. And he says this to the leaders with all the guys that I'd worked with, and then the younger ones who'd worked with us, but we were transitioning to. He said, our job is to look at what Dave and the guys have done over the last 20 years, to rejoice in it, and then to improve it. Wow. I got so excited. We called a worship meeting right then. Something is happening in this region. Men and women have paid a great cost to get to this place. There's a generation that needs to rise up, take its place, not stay around the Xbox playing games, but to get on in the kingdom. And the older people don't need to get on their backs over it. They need to get behind their backs and push them forward in a godly way. Receiving a legacy is precious and can be life-saving. But with it comes great responsibility in how we use it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. When I think of the hours that my kids did without our presence, when I think of the hours our parents sacrificed and didn't demand from us because they believed the work of God was being done, I don't want to see people waste that inheritance. I want to see them use it wisely. And you've had leaders just like that, leaders who have poured their lives out for you. Second area is transition. That's the changes we go through as we move forward from what we've experienced in the past and the present into a new day. Who was it? It was Fiona began singing about there's a new day. It's a new day. There's a new start. But the transition period is the most difficult period. It can be very exhilarating for some and very threatening to others. How many of you like change? As long as it's for someone else. And when it comes to you, that's a different thing. It's a different thing. You like the chair in just that place and the table just where it should be and the curtains just right. And God's not like that. God just comes in and breathes. We keep singing about God breathing. Have you noticed when God breathes, everything changes? Hey, how many of you have been down the coastline since the storms came in? Everything's changed. Typical English, they show pictures and say, this has been there for 150-something years and now it's gone. Well, thank God for that. It's changed. Some things just need to change. Would someone tell England some things need to change? Yeah. Read Ecclesiastes 3 when you've got time. There's a time for everything. There was a time for me to lead in Basingstoke. There was a time for me to give it away. Third thing, generations. That's the vehicle God uses for legacy to be passed on and for transitions to take place. One generation must tell the next generation of the great deeds of God. The secret is knowing when the change is on and a change is coming. Many years ago, Barney did something absolutely terrible. He turned up in Basingstoke and Vic and I were there. I was leading the church in Whitney and Vic was leading the church in Basingstoke. And Barney, as was his wont, stood up and prophesied something without asking any of us. How many of you know God doesn't need your permission to speak? And his words to the church were quite shocking. As he stood there, he said, well, I'm here to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. And I laughed. I shouted, amen. And then he said, with that in mind, Dave will be leaving where he's been leading and so will Vic. And we went, what? That was announced publicly There were several times that happened to me walking with Barney Coombs, but I walked in a relationship of trusting God to hear him speak through him. And when he did, we did it. I still remember him saying, it's time for you to go to the East Midlands. I was praying like mad it would be the Bahamas. And he sends us to a coal mining place that was dreadful. It was really hard work. D.H. Lawrence's birthplace. And you'd take 3 inches and you'd lose 2 the next day. It was so difficult preaching the gospel there. But at the end of the day, we established the church which Mark Mumford leads in that region. Powerful work of God has happened in that place. Transition. And then the word came, move from there and go to Basingstoke. And who's going to lead it, Lord? Mark. Mark had only ever led a house group. Look what he's done since. There are gifts and graces in some of you that are dormant at the moment because you're not put in a place of responsibility where the anointing and grace of God can just take off. Because you'll sit back and let Rod and Avril prophesy. You sit back and let Graham lead. You sit back in your different congregations and say, well, you do it and you do it and we'll watch. Well, the watching time is over. Discipleship isn't about watching. It's about following and then doing yourself. Amen? Amen. Am I talking to the right crowd? Yes or no? I could give you more notes on this. I'm just serving notice. There's a change coming. I've just released working in the southwest of England after 15 years, and I love those people. But God said, you've got to let it go. Then he asked us to go and work in Egypt. So I said, what about the southeast? I love those people. You can carry on working with them, so praise God. Now, so, some of you might be thinking, oh, no. But I'm trying to be obedient. And God keeps saying, go to the nations. I said, what about the southeast? He said, go there as well, so there must be nations here. Okay? But there's a transition going on. And when you see things start to change, don't panic. Rejoice and pray and support. Don't criticize. Find ways of standing with those who God is raising up. Let me just speak to SKCC. Your leaders have worked so hard. Sometimes they've worked so hard at the detriment of their own health. They've served you. You might not always have agreed with them, but you talk to God about that, not one another. But the joy of laying hands on James and Fiona and Phil and Hannah was a privilege for me. And having spent time with them, I want to tell you something. You're in safe hands with those who are coming through, and there's more. Those that are in New Romney now, and you're Nick and Helen, and thank you for what you've done. It was a tough blow that happened in the church. But you know what? God's bigger than tough blows. And Paul and Terry, give them space to love their family and encourage it and nurture it. They will return. What Steve and Joyce are doing in Ramsgate, we just got so excited about. How many of you know Steve doesn't even have a box? He's not even in one either. And I love being around people like that. He doesn't even see a box. In fact, I had to prophesy about one to get his attention. That's an amazing gift, and you'll find that gift beginning to flow amongst you. And it's great to see John and Joe here this morning. I'm really pleased to see you work so hard in what you've done in Canterbury. May the Lord refresh you in this season. Really refresh you. I want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you, Clive and Anna, for stepping in that gap. And there's more coming, and Buck will take us on from here. I'm not going to preach anymore, okay? Have you got the message? God has given you a legacy. You must invest it. There will be a transition. It will come into the next generation. Ralph, while you're there, thank you for the job you're doing. When Nick said to me he was leaving the church and he was going to stay in Basingstoke Sunday morning, I said, who's doing it Sunday morning? He said, Ralph. I thought, good hands. It's the next generation.
I wonder if we could just close our eyes and just concentrate on the Lord for a minute. I've just been seeing so many green shoots. And I thought it was limited to a few people, and today, this morning, I just saw fields and fields of green shoots. The Lord is so wanting to bring new life. And it's all there in seed form. And some of you have been saying, how long must this seed stay under the ground? And your heart has been crying out because you know that there's been more for you, more for what you see around you, more that the Lord wants to do, more that the Lord wants to pour out. And you've been saying, Lord, how long? When will the growth come? And some of you have been trying to handle buried dreams that you know the Lord has given you dreams. And they have been dormant because you haven't seen how they can be fulfilled. And you've been waiting and waiting. And still, it's like the seed under the ground. And some of you have got promises from God. And you know God has spoken, perhaps many years ago, perhaps more recently. And your cry is, Lord, how? How can you do this? And yet it's like a seed that is deep in your life. And the Lord is saying, the shoot will come forth. It's a season for shoots. It's a season for new growth. It's a season when you will see growth above the earth where things are yet buried. And there are gifts and there are graces to be released. And as they are released, so new shoots will come. And just as the farmer delights as he goes out and he spent work and time and hours, day and night, plowing up ground and burying seed, so the day comes when the farmer goes out and he is delighted that he sees new shoots coming from all that work and all that time and all that labor. And so it will be a time when you as a farmer will go out and you will rejoice, for you see the growth that is about to come, the new life that is about to burst forth in your lives individually and in the churches that you work in. Nurture the new shoots. Nurture them. Draw them on. Look for them in others. Do not press down, but release. Have a spirit of release over each other that you might bring forth the new shoots in others. May it be a fresh day for each one of you as you kneel before the altar once more and say, Lord, grow in me, reveal your glory in me, breathe on me. May a new day come as you kneel down low, so the Lord will raise you up and those buried dreams will come forth. You will see a new day of growth. You will see a new day of life, for it's a new season.
Well, this has been quite a morning. I woke up this morning. I'm staying in a wonderful house with three beautiful children. And I woke up before them as God was speaking to me. And I want to share with you just a little bit. It ties it all together with what's been said so far. Some of you are probably thinking, what's all this? And here we go again. And does it really have to be this way? And there's all these other questions that you might be asking. Well, if you would, there's a simple scripture that in the book of Deuteronomy that I would just like for us to look at very quickly. And then I'll just say a few short things before we sum up. If you would turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 21, I'm reading from the New International. Let's begin with verse 20. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hid from you have perished. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hands, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. Now, this sounds rather rough, but He's speaking to a people who were a snake bit people, who had gone through an incredible ordeal, and who are getting ready to walk now into something that they had never experienced before. They had had wonderful miracles, wonderful provision, but now a new day was coming. And the Lord was speaking to them, preparing them for transition and getting them ready for a time of consecration so that they would be prepared for all that He was going to do for them, which I believe the Lord is getting ready to do with you. Now, I'm speaking, but actually I'm prophesying to you. And He said four things to them that I would like for you to consider. The things that He said to them was this: this is going to happen. The four things that were going to happen were this. Number one, little by little. It happens little by little. But it is the process of allowing it to happen little by little. Sometimes we want change to happen suddenly, but sometimes it happens little by little. Green shoots that come through the grounds in the way that Chris was prophesying. And other times you see the incredible suddenness of God that takes over. The interjection of the sovereign interjection of God, the lightning bolt from heaven. But He was telling them, don't be surprised if transition happens little by little, but it is happening, and you have to be prepared for it. And the second thing that He was saying to them, now listen to this, and He says this, He said, if God were suddenly to remove all the obstacles before you, you would find yourself facing a big void, and this would pose a danger for you. God told the Israelites through Moses, you will not be allowed to eliminate all of these things that are around you at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. In other words, what He's saying to them, get ready for removal and replacement. Can you say that with me? Removal and replacement. He was telling them that this is coming. But as it's coming, it will happen in such a way that everything that will be done, there will be a protection from the hand of the Lord, so that those things that could destroy won't destroy. Those things that could consume won't consume. Nevertheless, there will be a removal and a replacement. The third thing that He said to them is, He says, there's going to be a change in some relationships. In some of those relationships, you can see a little bit later where there were leadership transitions. And might I say, in the churches that are represented here, there are all kinds of things happening in this already, has happened, probably will happen. It's the hand of the Lord. And so it's a season. And you might be wondering, what is this really all about? Well, it's because of, it isn't about what's happening now, it's about what's coming. And all of this was done as a means of preparation for the promises He wanted His people to receive as they crossed over to the other side. And the fourth thing that He said to them was this. He said, for some of you, wait patiently, because it may not be your time yet. Wait patiently. In other words, for you, patience will reveal the purposes of God in your life. In God, even the longest wait has meaning and purpose. He redeems times and restores the years the locusts have eaten. You can have confidence that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. And so now you're entering into a crossing over time. The interesting thing about what God said to the people as they were crossing over, in some translations, He said it like this: I'm sending you as dwarfs into the midst of giants. I'm not very tall. But then He turned it around and He said, but you will spread out and become the giants that will dwarf them. And so it's a crossing over time, and I believe that the Lord is with you. You've had years of preparation. You have been snake bit. But now the hand of the Lord is with you. And it's a new time to seek Him, to push into His presence, to find Him in new ways, and not to be afraid. Because the same promises that He gave to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 7, He's given to us. They're ours. So can we stand together? Can you just grab the hand of someone next to you? And Chris, you have this green shoot prophecy. Would you come and would you pray that the green shoots will rise? That's a consecration moment.
Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are with us. Thank You that we do not stand alone. Thank You that we are not making up our own destinies. Thank You that You have a plan and a purpose for each one of us and for our churches, for our gatherings, for our towns and our cities and our nation. And Lord, we thank You that You choose to call us to be a part of that plan. Lord, it's a miracle that You would do that, that You take the patience and the time with us. And Lord, as we stand at this moment, we just pray, each one of us, that we would just take a step forward into the future. And we can do that, Lord, because we trust You. And we say, Lord, yes, we will go with You. We will move forward. We are not satisfied where we are because we know there is so much more. And Lord, this day we do consecrate ourselves to You afresh. We stand before You and we say in all seriousness, because we know it's a serious commitment, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For us there will be no foreign God, for You are the one, and we love You and we bow the knee before You afresh. And we say we will put off all self-interest, all self-seeking, a raising up of ourselves. We put it off, Lord, like an old cloak. And we say we will walk into Your purposes, bowing the knee before You and knowing that You are the Almighty God. And we pray as we do this that You would breathe on us afresh, that You would fill us with Your Spirit afresh, because it's only in Your Spirit that we can move out in boldness and freedom. And so, Lord, we just come before You and we ask that You would impart to each one of us a new day, a fresh understanding of Your ways and a fresh hearing of Your voice. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we have the worship team come? And as they're coming, let me just say this. Please allow me to be prophetic just for a moment. I had a dream when the first night I was here before I went to Canterbury and saw the cathedral. The dream that I saw is I was standing at the top of the stairs. It wasn't just me. It was representation of a leader. And as I was standing on top of the stairs, there were three knights, heavily armed, that were coming up this thing to dislodge this leader. And they had intent. Now, I understand now a little bit later about what happened many years ago in Canterbury. But this was a very vivid dream. And as they were coming up the stairs, the leader looked at them and said, "You will not do this again." And as they came one by one, he grabbed them by the scruff of the neck, by their legs, by their breeches, and he threw them down the stairs one at a time, and they were shocked. And as they got up to come up the stairs one more time, he met them at the top of the stairs, and they said to him, "We didn't realize you were so strong." Now, the reason, I've been perplexed about this, but I understand that this is something that the enemy has tried to do within this region by trying to attack different leaders and leadership family, by creating confusion and chaos and different types of health disturbances. But I believe that that time is coming to an end, and it's a time now where God is going to bring order and where leadership is standing strong together in ways that have not been seen for a long time, that these things will not happen one more time. Can you say amen to that?